Well, good morning, everyone. Isn't this a beautiful Sunday? It is. All Sundays are beautiful. Remember that. It's wonderful to come together here today, despite the rain. I was telling the last service that for 3-4 weeks we've been praying for rain, and now we got it. You know. So, well, there's a story of a parish who was holding a preaching revival and invited a well-known minister who had his PhD. And after the service, an elderly lady approached the minister and said, "Young man, when I heard that one of those professor types was preaching at our revival, I didn't think I would get anything out of it. But may I say, for a man with a PhD, you preach like you have no education at all." That's probably what a lot of preachers are feeling like today as they stand before a congregation and try to convey the mystery of the Trinity. Somebody asked me before service, "Isn't this the Sunday that the deacon's supposed to preach?" She did last year, yeah. Today, newly graduated seminarians who have just started their first positions as an associate rector or an assistant rector are told on this Sunday, it's your turn to preach. Some will dig deep into the commentaries of the greatest theologians in history and try to preach a sermon that makes sense. And they may use flowery words, spouting off some Greek words to justify how educated they are. But people will walk away from that service with this question: what's the Trinity? Now, to be honest, I say a lot of that in jest. Hopefully that is not the case, but maybe in some cases it is. But here's what I do know about the Trinity. God has revealed himself to us over the ages in his word given to us, revealing his mighty works in the words of his prophets and through his prophets. That is a fact. God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. That is a fact. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We are one." And God continues to reveal himself to us by the Holy Spirit. That too is a fact. Jesus said, "I am sending him to you." That is a fact. The three persons are uniquely one, not separate. The other day, I was listening to a renowned apologist and theologian, Ravi Zacharias, and also the late Nabil Qureshi. Both were answering a question from an audience about the Trinity in the simplest of terms that they could wrap their minds around. We look at ourselves as human beings. We are unique above all other creatures in the planet for a reason. And we have a sense of morality. We have the sense to reason. We are indeed driven by whatever moral code we choose to follow. Speaking as a Christian, I can say that my heart was transformed by the presence of God when I chose to receive him into my life. My moral code changed as it was touched by the Spirit of God. It wasn't a rule that I just suddenly one day decided to follow. It was a conviction in my spirit which came alive in Christ. I still have a free will, but that free will is now influenced by the love of Christ. So Ravi and Nabil put it this way: we are each a being, right? We are human beings. And we are also a person. We are one person as a human being. The Godhead is also an individual, a one being, but there are three persons. The Father has a function, the Son has a function, and indeed, I see it the embodiment of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit who has a function. There is one God in three persons. It's a mystery. But what is not a mystery is what God has done in creation, what Jesus has done, and what the Holy Spirit has done and continues to do. That is what is important for us to understand. That is what is important for us to get our minds and our very being wrapped around. And from our readings today, I want us to look at how God encounters us here and now as he has done through history. In other words, we need to grasp the magnitude of who God is and then allow him to become an integral part of who we are. God wants so much for us to encounter him in our lives and for us to encounter others on his behalf. Now, how do I know that? Well, let's read what Jesus said about the Father's will. We all ask, what's God's will? Well, here it is. This is God speaking. Jesus is one with the Father. Jesus said, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Every single believer who comes to Christ has an encounter with Christ. It is a heart change. In addition, every single believer has the opportunity to be that conduit to others on his behalf. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5:2, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Now, how does he do that? By his Spirit. No one who has experienced Christ in their lives can deny his existence. It is life-changing. His relationship with us is, in fact, him encountering the human race by his Spirit. That's what he does. We really need to grasp onto the idea of just how special we are to God. At creation, God said, let us, that is the triune God, create mankind in our image. Every other creature on the planet was spoken into existence. God took time to create man and woman. And within all that uniqueness that God has created the human race to be, he did something else. We have a spirit, that which is broken through sin, but through Christ, as I mentioned last week, our spirit is uniquely brought together with God's Spirit. So we can encounter God through his Spirit. And if we are open to it by our free will, things can happen and do happen. Look through the Old Testament. It is history of God encountering the human race in amazing ways. Prophets and others, as you read through it. I encourage you to read through the Old Testament and see how God brought all this together. It's exciting. Today in our reading from Isaiah, we see such an encounter. I mean, the place shook and the room filled with smoke. Now, wouldn't that get your attention? I think so. That would get my attention. Isaiah realizes just how pitiful he is. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm among these people, these terrible people. He recognizes just how insignificant he is in his own eyes. And then God encounters him. He touched his very soul. And Isaiah said, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Now, I want you to notice the word here. Remember, Isaiah is a prophet. He is anointed by God's Spirit to speak God's word. And God said, who will go for us? The triune God is speaking. What a powerful moment that was for Isaiah. And all that was for a purpose, to usher in the coming of the Messiah. That was much of the message that Isaiah gave throughout his ministry. The Messiah is coming. Get ready for the coming of the Lord. And here is in our gospel reading, he is here. And we see another encounter. Nicodemus is trying to wrap his head around who Jesus is and what he is doing. He's a leader in the Sanhedrin. He's a teacher. And his heart is burning for truth. Now, we covered this back in March, so today I just want to, we looked at Nicodemus, at this same scripture back in March. So today I just want to look at one aspect of this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. As Jesus was giving Nicodemus the reality of life about how one must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, Nicodemus is having trouble comprehending that concept and asks, how can we re-enter our mother's womb? And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We are born of water and spirit. And again, for clarity, and within the context of this conversation, Jesus is speaking of water birth, not baptism, because the whole conversation is about re-entering your mother's womb. But here is what I think is so cool about this encounter with Nicodemus having with Jesus. God has worked out this infamous encounter with the Son of God to bring about something that will have such an impact on the world. Nicodemus has no idea how famous he is going to be. He has no idea just how much the following words of Jesus will change the lives of countless people. Out of this encounter with God comes the most quoted piece of dialogue in history. There is certainly no Christian who hasn't memorized it. Even many non-believers and atheists and those who hadn't got a clue about Jesus and certainly had no clue who Nicodemus is may have heard this in their lifetime. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We see it in sports arenas. We see it on billboards and in the news. You name it, that one verse has been around the globe countless times and will continue to do so. Why? Because a man named Nicodemus, in the cover of darkness so he could not be seen, had an encounter with God. And why is that important? Because of this. God is going to put people in our path if we are willing to respond. You will have encounters if you want God to work through you, and he will use you. Friday, Debbie and I were up here at Zoe's Kitchen for a bite to eat just down the road, and a lady and her adult daughter were at the table right next to us, and the mom was putting a leg wrap over her right lower leg. It looked like a plastic boot, and it had a rubber thing around the top to keep her leg from getting wet in the rain. It was raining, and she got up, and her daughter went to get the car to pull it up to the curb, and she was walking over to the door to wait for her daughter to get to the curb, and I felt led to take, I had my umbrella with me, and I walked over, and I said, can I walk you out to the car? And she said, sure, thank you so much. I didn't have time to, in the rain, to really pray for her, but I did plant a seed, and I did pray for her later. You see, God can use the littlest of things to bring about an encounter with anyone he chooses. I rarely pick up an umbrella to go into a restaurant, hardly ever. But I felt led, I don't know why I had it there, I picked it up and walked in. I know why I was led to take that umbrella in. Nobody else in there had an umbrella. If only we could grasp the magnitude of the glory of God around us, even in the little things. If only we could open his willingness to use us and to be glorified through us. In Psalm 29, we read today, David is crying out the majesty of who God is and who he is around us. His voice can be heard in creation. It is powerful, he says. It is full of majesty, he says. It shakes the wilderness, he says. And then David says this, the Lord gives strength to his people, and he does. We can walk in that strength through his Spirit that he has given us. Paul reminded us today that through Christ we have received the Spirit of adoption as his children. And as such, we cry, Abba, Father. It's like, again, like saying, Daddy, Daddy, I'm here. Use me. Our spirit bears witness with his spirit, and we are glorified. Paul says, we are glorified as well through him. He loves us so much, and he wants to use us in so many ways. The call of Isaiah is the same call he has placed on all of us. And the answer to him should be the same answer Isaiah gave. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Life can be full of distractions, irritations, and any other thing that could ruin our day or try to ruin our day. But God, by his Spirit, has so much for you today. He will use you. We serve a mighty God who wants and desires to do mighty things through those who call on his name. Encounter God today. He is here. He is the Father, creator of light and life. He is the author of our salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he is the source of all power and desire and desires to work through you and me and everyone who calls on his name by the Holy Spirit. Allow him to encounter your life today. He's here, and he wants to use you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you came to us, Lord. We thank you for creating us and for making us the special beings that we are to have this relationship with you. You created us to have a relationship with you, freely offering ourselves to you. So, Father, we ask that you would continue to move by your Spirit, not only in this place, but in churches all over this community who are calling out to you. Father, we ask that you would move throughout this community by your Spirit. Lord, that we would be used mightily. Give us encounters, Lord God, to touch others in a special way that only you can provide, that only you will do. But help us to see it, Lord. Give our hearts, let our hearts be open to receive that and to be used by you. And we thank you, Father, for all that you will do through each and every person here. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.